This episode was recorded in May 2020. If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
We're going now. We're recording now.
Can we swear?
No.
We start. No, no swearing.
Oh, f***. That's a chuckle.
Right. We'll come in a bit later.
Do you know what? I've had an absolute nightmare. I've had a nightmare because I've had to watch you two and all the Everton glory days. It's 35 years yesterday to the Bayern Munich game. Go on, what were you talking about there? You say you didn't play well.
No.
Yesterday, what happened, Rob? Yesterday, I spoke to Reedy, wanted to do something for me. So I gave him a quick call, video call. Yeah. And he was obviously, he was in his garden, self-isolating, you know, being a responsible adult with a large glass of some liquid drink in his hands, which wasn't soft. And I was saying to him, do you know what I'm going to do? Because I don't remember actually watching the whole game. I've seen highlights of it. I've seen 20 minutes of it, 30 minutes of it. But I can't remember the last time I sat down and watched it all. And because of this isolation thing, I said to Reedy yesterday, I'm going to watch the whole game tonight. And he went to me, right. He says, by the way, as Reedy says, by the way. He said, watch Trevor. It was one of our best players. Trevor Stephen, he said, he had an absolute nightmare. And I've gone, okay. So I watched the game. And I said to one of my pals who's here, just helping me set up, I said, you know what? Trevor did have a nightmare, although he scored a great goal. I said, but I wasn't very clever myself that night. And I said to him, the only two people I could think of, Rob, who played, who I looked at and thought, they played well, they were right at it. Because we had a young side and there was a lot of nerves there I saw last night. A lot of nerves that I never saw there on the night. But I saw them last night, watching it back, was Reedy and Brace. They were the two best players on the pitch for us by some distance.
They say it's the greatest one of all, Goodison.
Well, it was a great night. But what I said to Andy, they like all good sides, were very good at playing from the back. And the boy, Klaus Argenteil, was a terrific player. And Flugler was a strong boy. But what Andy and Sharpie did, and he did ever so well, they physically won the battle with them. Because Argenteil kept going deeper and deeper to get it. So we could get up the pitch. And that was the effort. In the middle of the park, you had Luther Mateus and a lad called Soren Lerby.
Now, when by the way, hold on, Reedy. They also had Ludwig Kogel, this young German who's supposed to be a great player.
Well, when we were coming out, beginning of the game, and it was lively in the tunnel, I remember looking down at Lerby, who was a good player, and thinking, he's got no shin pads on him.
Correct.
I thought, He's either brave or an absolute egg cake. He was brave, but I've got to say he had to be on that night.
Yeah. Well, you said to me, you know what's funny, Reedy? Because you know what, the age plays tricks on your memory. And, you know, you think you've played well. You think about the third goal we scored, which was a fantastic goal. But the one word you said to me yesterday that I've always thought it was physical. You said to me like yesterday before I watched it was brutal, Andy. It was brutal. And when I watched it after that for the 9 minutes, it was brutal. I mean, they were no shrinking violets. They laid it into us early on. I remember you with your bloody red sock, that infamous red sock you had in that first half because you had a big hole in your leg. But it was brutal. They were as physical as us, but we could just do it longer than they could. That was important.
Rob, it was funny because everyone goes on about that sock. I had he put a hole in me shin, and he had 6 at half time. But it didn't bother me. You know what bothered me? At the end of the game, we'd won it. I had to go to hospital in Lourdes, and him and Mr. Gray and all them went downtown on the lash. By the way, I've never got over it. I'd like to state this, man.
I didn't go downtown on the lash. I knew we had a big game coming up at the weekend. Yeah. I went home to bed and tucked myself up and prepared myself for for the weekend. That was funny because we kept saying to Reedy, "See you, son. All the best, mate." I'll tell you, Reedy, you know what I noticed last night that I thought was brilliant? It was brilliant, and I chuckled to myself in my apartment last night. Was you talk about Lerby doing you, right? And now the blood. But you know what you did? You waited and you waited and you waited. And at some point in the second half, and it just popped up on my screen, you've tried to, and I mean nail him. You've tried to half him in two. The ball was of little interest to you. You half got him. And I could tell by the look in your face you were gutted because you never quite got him. But you waited and waited and you thought, I'm having you.
Yeah, it was. It's the first leg when we drew 0-0, Rob, this is the truth. And we, hey, they were a good side at home. And
yeah, tell you
what, yeah. Happy had the best chance of the game and missed it. But Andy was had an ankle injury and Sheeds was out. But at the end of it, we'd had a couple of drinks in Munich, right? And I was rooming with Brace, so we'd gone to bed. 2 a.m. So, what? Open the door.
No, I'm denying this.
I'm denying all knowledge. A crate of Pilsner, right? On the Wednesday morning, this is the Thursday morning, and he wouldn't go until we finished it. No. On the Saturday, we played Luton in the semi-final. I had a nightmare.
I wonder why I had a nightmare. Was it my fault? You were just hopeless that day. Just admit it. It was just a bad day.
Unbelievable.
I remember that. That was fun. That was amazing. It was amazing.
Andy, I watched 20 minutes of the game this morning, and Flugler during the second leg has gone right through the back of Andy. And to be fair, you've got up, you've retaliated, you've gone for him. I mean, the referee's looking, you've got a yellow card, but I mean, it's football from a different era. It's just different football, isn't it? But God, I love it.
No, it was madness, though, Rob. I looked at that again last night and I thought, what was I thinking of? Because that ref, who was brilliant on the night, I have to be honest, he realised what it was like. And I think had they not started, them, Bayern Munich, had they not started so physical, I remember the left-back smashing Sharpie. Adair had had a couple of nibbles at me. Flugler had rattled into a couple. Lerby had rattled into Reedy. I think if they hadn't done that, then I might well have gone off. And every time I look at it now and I see it and I think, what if, you know, what if he'd have turned round to me and sent me off? My God, could I have lived with myself?
We could have done that, couldn't he? You couldn't have argued if he had sent you off in fairness.
Well, only that
the guy's
given
you a right rattle, to be fair.
Only that I didn't contact him. I had this wild swing and missed him. But I remember Reedy picking me and shoving me away. But there was another one second half where I got involved with somebody again. And Reedy was right in my face. I forgot it. It's amazing what you forget. But look at it last night. I was sort of head-to-head with him. And the wee man came flying up from nowhere and just grabbed me and dragged me out the way. And I thought, well done, wee man. Well done.
The night itself was... The night itself was the best atmosphere I have ever played in. It was,
yeah, me too.
It was sensational. The old lady, which is the nickname for Goodison, it rocked. And there's only one stadium I've been in like that, and that was in Argentina. How do you pronounce it? The Boca, what's it called?
Which one?
Boca Juniors.
Yeah, Boca Juniors Stadium. I don't know what that's called. No, sorry.
That rocked. Goodison rocked that night.
It rocked.
And I the crowd were hugely influential on the results because they stuck with us. It was deathly silence when Holness hit the one in the back of the net. But tell you what, when we come on for the second half, they were brilliant.
Yeah, they were phenomenal. It was important. I think we got a goal in the first 5 minutes, didn't we? That was important. I mean, we were right back in it. We gave the punters at the Gladys Street, particularly as we were hitting towards that, suddenly they believed we could do it again. And so did we. And I think that was important. That early goal was such a big goal for us that night. Really big goal.
I was watching again, do you know, even on the distance of YouTube, the atmosphere and the intensity. You know, it's the intensity. I know people talk about the games really quick these days, but do you know that intensity that you played with on the night? It was just incredible.
Yeah. Tell us what you said to me yesterday. Tell them what you said to me about the intensity, the pace of it.
It was brutal. Everything about it was brutal, but you got carried away with it. It's hard to put into words at what it was that night, from like getting to the ground early, from coming up from the hotel, St. George's, coming up Everton Browdale. It was just like, it was like homecoming. It's like we'd won it. The intent, and it was a few times it happened when I think me and Andy played for Everton. I remember Southampton in the semi final, the crowd and the final itself, because they had all the success. It was something that it was like a religion. We had to win it. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
I mean, people. Andy, talk, can I ask you? Sorry, yeah. Go on, mate.
I was just going to say, Rob, people talk a lot about pace in the game and how the modern game is played at such a pace and pressure. And if anybody who looks at that game, that wasn't a game for the purists. If you support Manchester City and everything they do, don't go watch Everton against Bayern Munich. You'll be bored, right? It's not that kind of football match. It was a semi-final. It was a one-off. It was a winner-takes-all. For us, it was history to become the first, and up till now, sadly, the only Everton side to get to the European final. So there was more on it than just a result. And we didn't really care how we got there. We just got there. We were determined to get there. And they bought into that, in fairness to them. They smacked it along as well. They hit the ball from back to front so many times because of the pressure that we put them on. But look at the game and watch the two in the middle I talked about, Reedy and Bracewell, going into the last 5 and 10 minutes of that game when they've absolutely knocked their pan out. That, and think about this, these are the boys, two central midfield players that had played in Munich 7 days earlier, semi-final of the FA Cup on the weekend, and another semi-final on the Wednesday night. And look at the last 10 minutes and their pressure on the ball, where they were entitled to drop off and just defend the edge of the 18-yard line, was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And again, you forget these little things like that. I watched it last night and I'm watching the last 5 minutes and I'm looking at that. I'm not looking at anything else. I'm looking at Reedy and Brace putting pressure on. Trevor Stevens putting pressure on. Sheed's putting pressure on. And I thought, wow, that's energy levels that, you know, that's how fit we were in those days. It was amazing. Amazing to watch.
Reedy,
I'm sorry about this. There's a geezer interrupting us every now and again. I'm not too sure who he is. She can get rid of him.
Sorry, mate. Listen, I can't get me balance between Qatar and Liverpool. Go on.
What I was just going to say.
I lose me balance on it.
I love watching the modern game. I love watching Manchester City and Liverpool. But I do miss, Rob, what you just said there. I miss the physicality.
So do I.
Good tackle. I miss somebody, you know, getting annoyed. And I'm not saying go over the top, tackle from behind. I mean challenges, you know, physical challenges. I love the purists. I love the one touch. I love the technique. I love the pitches where you can trust the bounce of the ball. When I played, as soon as it's coming here and someone's rolling me a ball, when I played, I'm hooking it there. I'm not having a trust, by the way. Brian Robson and Souness are coming. I'm not having a touch because it's the ball.
No. You're having a touch. I'm not having two touches.
Oh, correct. But what I'm trying to say, the modern game is great. They are athlete supreme, but I do miss that little bit of, shall I call it, devilment in the game.
Yeah. Sadly, it's not coming back either.
No. Let me just touch on Andy's talking about you and Bracewell in midfield. But I mean, you know, the Everton team was struggling. I'm almost certain I was there that Coventry game, the 0-0, when 13,500 were there. I was there with my dad and my brother. And It came from nowhere. But when you think you've got a midfield of Sheedy on the left, Stephen on the right, and you two, you know, Bracewell and Reed, does it go down? Does it compare with one of the greatest midfields that English football's seen? It must be up there.
Well, I'm kind of biased, but I'm also fairly honest. And as a quartet, I fail to see what any other quartet of footballers could have given that those four didn't. And Peter and Brace, two brilliant footballers, great energy levels, broke it up, used it well, economical and everything they did, but everything they did was done brilliantly, in my opinion, and well. With Sheedy and Trevor Stephen, two of the most gifted, you know, but different. Trevor could run at people, beat people, score goals, create goals. Sheeds was different and he was slower, not as quick as Trevor, but that left foot is legendary and what it could do with its distribution, create and score. And our championship winning season, I think, they both got more than 15 league goals each. Now, that's 30 league goals from wide areas in the league. That's phenomenal. You don't get that very often. And with Peter and Reedy chipping in half a dozen each, it was, from my opinion, in any game, I think even now, if you gave a Premier League side that quartet, you'd find it hard to beat right now.
It was very well balanced. I think that's a great, you know, all had strengths. Obviously, we were together ever so well. I think when you look at teams though, when that team was on the park, invariably it was you know, we won football matches. Well, what I would say the likes of Alan Harper and Kevin Richardson.
Oh yeah.
And did magnificent jobs, jobs. And hey, listen, it was just a really well balanced side. When Inchi got injured, me and Andy alluded to, were Andy Gray and Graham Sharp going to be too similar up front? No, it didn't work out. They become a brilliant partnership because we knew where their strengths were, and we played to them. And that's a good football team. Obviously, yeah. The best goalie in the world, and.
That did help. Having the best goal
but
in the world.
It was a great time to be an Everton footballer, without a doubt. But on and off the park, and that's good. About, I mean, people talk about good teams and great teams, and it is. But what I would say, and we'll be up there with good teams. But I tell you what, we were great off the park. Let me tell you something.
Well, I wasn't. I would like to say, Rob, I wasn't as great as Reedy off the park, but I was all right.
Every day we come in and trained, and it was lively because you had, you know, these circles where you knocked the passes. If you got in, I tell you what, it was hard getting the ball back off them. But every day, it was a joy to be alive. It was a joy to be on the park. On the training pitch with them, it was just brilliant banter.
Yeah, it was great.
Good atmosphere. It was,
and to be fair, Reedy, that stems. Yes, it stems from us being the way we were as personalities, players, but it also stems from the fact that what we had with Howard, with Colin, with Easy in particular, those three, that's the kind of personality they were. They gave us that. They made us what they were. You know, they weren't dour. They weren't, you know. They were deep thinkers, but they never brought that onto a training ground. It was always bright. It was always lively. It was never boring. It was never dull. And I think that transmitted to us as well. And we picked up and ran with it. Because apart from me and you, it was a young side, really young side, when we got to that year. And it needed what I think those three gave it in their own individual term. They were all different. You know, Howard was different from Colin. It was different from Easy. But they all contributed something.
Andy, just on that, you know, when I went to Everton, I was amazed at Howard's training methods. Like, I've been involved in pre-seasons at clubs now, you know, do a bit of, and Howard's training methods were way ahead of his time, in my opinion. Did you feel that?
Well, do you know, I arrived the second, just after pre-season, the first 83, my first session was in between the FA Cup winning and starting that great season. And I remember coming in the first day, and I'd never had a football at my feet on day one, never day three, four, five, six, never mind day one. I remember how I'd got the balls out day one. Yeah. And I'm thinking, wow, what are we doing with the footballs? We've been away for the summer all summer. But Howard is straight into the footballs, not doing anything ridiculous, but as soon as we got back in, that's your thing. That has to be your best friend. So let's get used to it as soon as we can. Yeah, I think you're right. I think he was way ahead in that respect. When I was with Ron Saunders at Villa just before that, really, and times like that, we used to run up sand dunes and hills, and you must have done the same at Bolton. Yeah. You know, and to go there and just get the footballs out in day one was just fantastic.
Well, this might sound ridiculous, Rob. You know, when I was doing my first pre-season training in the early 70s, I remember the trainer saying, don't drink that water, you'll get stomach. Yeah. Honestly.
Yes.
And like you look now, and the sports science is amazing. But that was a fact. Don't drink that water. Yeah.
I know.
Oh, it was amazing. Now, they're finely tuned athletes.
I know you've been involved in a very successful film, Howard's Way. Just to stay on the manager himself. I mean, from a media point of view, I found him amazing because he understood the media. He always gave you something, but there was a line you didn't cross, and that the shutters were. I thought he was absolutely magnificent. How did he treat you? You said you were great on the park, but off the park as well. Was he hard on you, or did he in a way encourage that kind of thing?
I'll bow to Reedy on this. Reedy knew him much better than I did. I had years with Howard, loved it. But yeah. Reedy had a lot longer than that, so I'll bow to the wee man on this.
This is a personal story. When we got done in the FA Cup final and Liverpool had turned us over in the league, I was devastated. Well, we all were. But someone had a great idea about two buses going around the city. Now, I said to Howard after the game, I says, I'm not coming on the bus. I said, whatever you say, I'm not. Listen, I've shook hands with the Reds, Kerry, all the lads, you know, got beat, but I'm not coming on the bus. So he said, it's 2 weeks' wages. I said, no. Not a problem at all. So anyhow, I had a bevy. The next day, I was in my local in Bolton, still there, the Red Lion. So I goes in, he said, 2 weeks' wages. I said, no problem. He said, listen, I'm putting out there that you've done 2 weeks' wages, but I didn't want to go on the bus. But I'm not going to fine you. But don't tell anyone. Tell anyone that I haven't took the money off you.
Yeah, that sounds like a business.
That is my management. It's nothing about on the park. That was ours. And any fines that happens to sending off and being late, it went in the pool. And let's just say we used it wisely.
Yes,
we did use it wisely.
Yeah.
Yes, we. No, I mean, you were right, Reddy. You got to know Howard really well. Obviously, a player, and then being with him at Man City and everything like that when he took you there as well. So you knew him. I mean, my association was also short, but also wonderful. In that respect, you know, 2 years of getting to know him. I would have, like you've always said, we'd all go run through a brick wall for Howard, and we would have done. There's no doubt about that. He was the best man manager. Yes. I think I would agree 100% with Reedy on that. You know, he might tactically, I think he leant on Colin quite a bit because Colin was a more studious about the game maybe than Howard was. Maybe I'm being unfair to the gaffer, but I think Howard was more of he'd be the one who'd take you in one day on a training day and say, listen, come and have a look at this. I want you to show you something from the weekend. Whereas Howard was, well, he got you going. He was the motivator. And he was a brilliant man manager. I thought so anyway. I mean, there's a lot of players he didn't pick who might not agree with that, but I thought he was.
I think when you talk about what he was good as well, he let players. He had a good set of players. The dressing room was a good dressing room.
Yeah.
He enhanced that. He enhanced that. He kept that going, and we were lucky because him and Colin were in that great Everton,
yes,
the Holy Trinity. Sadly, we lost Alan Ball 13 years ago today, I think.
Really? You know, wow.
Yeah. Oh, so he was in that, you know, and he knew footballers. Them two knew footballers, along with Mick Eaton. So it was the whole mixture of it. It was one of these melting pots that worked so well. Mm.
Listen, I'm loving.
Do you know what I think he did as well? Just a quick one on Rob, and certainly in the time I was there, I touched on it. We had a young side, and the side needed guidance. It got it from them. But, and I'm not blowing his trumpet or my own here, but I think he trusted you and I to run the dressing room, to run the team, to be him when he wasn't there. And I think that was important for them, because the lads, I like to think the lads enjoyed our company. The lads looked at what we said and believed that what we were telling them was right on the pitch. And I think that combination was a good one. And certainly, in my opinion, it was a huge part of it all. It was the whole mix. Whether he planned it, Howard, I don't know. Whether it was just a little bit of good fortune with it all coming together, with Reedy and Colin coming up when they did, for me signing when I did, all those sort of things. But whatever it was, I mean, he ran with it and he was brilliant with it.
Listen, we've got 5 minutes left. I just want to just ask a couple more from both of you. Andy, is it a regret that you never managed? Will you manage?
I won't manage. It's not a regret right now, but I think when I'm Reedy's age, I'll maybe look back, Rob, and wonder. But no, I made the choices I did. For whatever reasons. So I don't sit and worry about it. I'd love to, I think, I've felt what Reedy felt when he managed at City and Sunderland. Totally different job. I had a year with Big Ron as his assistant, and I loved it. But I chose the path that I went on. And honestly, I've got no regrets, Rob, no.
And you've had an unbelievable career as a media pundit, commentator as well. Do you still enjoy the game as much?
Oh, yes. Yeah, these last 4 or 5 weeks have been, it's not been like the end of season. It's not been May to August, because May to August we got used to over the last 40 years or whatever it was. So we're used to that little break and recharging our batteries. This is different. This is an enforced absence. And I can't think of anyone who loves the game hasn't missed it the last 4 weeks. I've missed it terribly. I really have done. And, you know, sometimes it takes something like this, though, to show you the true value of the sport that you love. And, you know, that for me will not diminish. As long as I've got air to breathe, then I'll love football.
And just for people who don't know, you're in Qatar, you're at beIN Sports. And, I mean, one of the great things, and certainly when I was working over there, you know, Jose Mourinho would rock up and Arsene Wenger would rock, and Ruud Gullit would rock, and Robert Perez would. Yeah. I mean, it's a rarefied atmosphere, but you must have some fantastic insights and some fantastic chats. They even open your mind about football that you possibly even thought you haven't thought of before.
Oh, listen, Rob, there's a lot of people maybe back in the UK who think we're working in some footballing backwater. You know that's not the point. Reedy does. Reedy's been a frequent visitor to these shores, and we love having him here. But the level of person, the times I've spent with Jose Mourinho talking about football, not on screen, talking about off screen as well, which has been great. Arsene Wenger, we had about 2 months ago, we had a lovely dinner with Arsene. He called up and wanted to take Richard and I for lunch. We had a great lunch with him talking football, as you'd expect. You know, Ruud, who we play golf with, Ruud Gullit, more often than ever with anybody. And there's it's a who's who of really great footballing greats, whether it's coaches or players, who come to this country, as you know, only too well. And so we're never short of somebody to talk to from the very highest echelons of football, that's for sure. World football, I'm not just talking British football. I'm talking world football as well.
What are you doing this afternoon, Reedy? What's the plan?
Barbecue.
I'm having a guess at that.
Barbecue, Aperol spritzers, gin and tonics, and then red wine, white wine. Hey, you've got to have a go, haven't you? I've done my training in the garden, so
good luck.
Now I'm going to enjoy.
It's the weekend, Reedy, it's the weekend.
It is, you've got to have a go. And by the way, Andy was on about missing football. I think it brings home to you life itself. You know, I miss people. I miss being going over and seeing you. And I tell you what it does. It gives you a better outlook, I think, on life. You know, hopefully we can care for one and each other, and sooner we're all back to normal, be the better. But certainly taught me lessons on humility with what people are doing, how the frontline NHS in a lot of countries, not just England, but a lot of countries.
Yeah, absolutely.
It brings it all into perspective.
Correct. Great way to finish. Great way to finish. Boys, what can I say? Thanks a lot. Stay safe. And I'll hopefully see you soon.
Well, what I could say is don't interrupt us as much next time. That's what I would like to say.
Always got to get the final word, hasn't he?
I'll catch up with you soon, Reedy. Thanks, Rob.
See you, chaps.
Okay, guys.